And here he is, Michael Savage.
The corruption in the United States of America has never been at this peak. Never. Under this monster in the White House, the corruption is now so out of control that a story came out today that summarizes it all. Pelosi's husband, you know who she is, don't you? Old Nancy, the green energy bumbler Pelosi. Well, the article, if it's true now, I don't know. It came out today in the freebeacon.com based upon congressional financial disclosures. If it's true, it's bigger than Martha Stewart. And you know what happened to Martha Stewart? But then, of course, there was no President Obama or Loretta Lynch in power at the time. Pelosi's husband invested in solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion. Now, I'll read the story to you, because if it's true, it's hugely important in this election. Because I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Which of the candidates is more likely to stop the corruption of this type that you see with Pelosi? And by the way, if you think it's limited to Pelosi, you're mistaken. Take a little look at Dianne Feinstein's nepotism and insider dealings, according to so many sources that are not being published. So I ask you again, we all know the country has never been more corrupted, and we're all begging for a change. We want an outsider to come in and, frankly, not only clean it up, but put the crooks in jail. Which of the candidates is most likely to stop the corruption? Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders? Simple question. Now, don't call me up with the yabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, I love Cruz, or I love Trump, or I love Hillary, I love Bernie. You're not going to get on the Savage Nation on this most important New York primary day. I want to know, if you're calling about any of these candidates, on what basis do you say that your candidate is most likely to stop the corruption that has now reached monumental proportions? The phone number here is 855-400-7282. It is a primary day in New York City, New York State as well, of course. And we don't know the outcome, of course, and we won't. Anyone who says they do is just filling airtime with double talk. And instead of filling air with double talk, I'm going to ask you, if you support Cruz or Hillary or Trump or Bernie, what can you say on this show today to give us the hope that your candidate would clean up this kind of corruption? What is it in their past that would indicate they would do this? Pelosi's husband invested in a solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion, says the article by Lachlan Markey. Sun Edison is now eyeing bankruptcy. But Paul Pelosi invested right before a 2014 stock rally. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi's husband bought up to $250,000 of stock in a now financially troubled green energy company just weeks before it announced a major 2014 acquisition that sent stock prices soaring, public records show. Now, as you well know, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, and the other girls from San Francisco's Sparkling Bay are all big proponents of green energy. They hate oil. They hate coal. Of course, the oil is wonderful because it produces fuel for their G5s. I think one of them flies maybe a G6 by now. I don't think they'd be caught dead in a G4 unless it was a government jet aircraft that they're not paying for at all. But it is fuel, after all. It fuels these beautiful airplanes. Sun Edison told regulators last week that it is eyeing bankruptcy under the weight of $11.7 million in debt. But in late 2014, says the article, investors were bullish on the company, which manufactures and operates solar and wind power facilities. Barry Obama loves solar and wind. Loves solar and wind. Hates coal and oil. In its 2014 purchase of wind energy company First Wind further bolstered the reputation of the company, wrote one market watcher at the time. And quote, perhaps unsurprisingly, Sun Edison's stock soared an astonishing 29% on news of this acquisition alone. Which acquisition? The acquisition that I just mentioned. Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, had invested just in time, you see. Just in time, just by chance. Now, I'm watching the show Billions. There are federal prosecutors that look into insider trading. But in the West Coast, there is no federal prosecutor. We don't have a Paris-Barre. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the gentleman's name, but in New York State, they have a New York attorney named Mr. Barre who put away the most powerful politician in the state next to Governor Cuomo. Mr. Holy Roller himself, Sheldon Silver, was marched away in handcuffs for a lifetime of insider trading and other shenanigans. But on the West Coast, you see, we have no U.S. attorney. They don't exist. It's a Wild West out here. Still the Wild West. The article goes on. Pelosi's office did not respond to questions about the timing of the purchase and whether she or her husband had any advanced knowledge of the deal, says the article. The article goes on. Pelosi had previously been accused of trading stock based on information gleaned through her official duties. She participated in Visa's initial public offering as the company fought a House bill to subject credit card companies to increased regulation. The measure failed to pass. A law passed in the wake of that controversy prohibits members of Congress from using non-public information for personal gain. Now listen to this. Language in that measure was informally dubbed the Pelosi provision for reasons you can well understand. In addition to her stock trade, says the article, old Nancy Pelosi steered more than $1 billion in federal subsidies to a light rail project that likely improved the value of the San Francisco headquarters of cloud computing company Salesforce, in which her husband had invested up to $1 million. Paul Pelosi's stake in Sun Edison will likely force the wealthy investor to take a haircut if the company declares bankruptcy, says the article. First Wind acquisition turned out to be a significant part of a larger expansion over the last 2 years that left the company with unsustainable levels of debt. On the heels of its First Wind deal, in July 2015, Sun Edison announced that it would buy residential power company Vivint Solar for $2.2 billion. Well, its stock initially improved on the news and then began its precipitous decline. The Vivint deal fell apart in March. The company accused Sun Edison of breach of contract, and Sun Edison announced that it had been subpoenaed by the Department of Justice over the failed acquisition. Sun Edison has maintained a strong presence in Washington. Listen to this very carefully. Sun Edison has maintained a strong presence in Washington, says the article, throughout its financial woes. The company has spent more than $1 million on its lobbying operations since 2011. And who did they hire? Who did this company hire to spin what they did? Well, it has employed lobbyists with the powerhouse Podesta Group since 2012. Do you know who Podesta is? Does anyone know who Mr. Podesta is? The Podesta Group is run by a top Hillary Clinton fundraiser, Mr. Podesta. Its co-founder chairs her presidential campaign, to which Sun Edison donated last year. The company has also donated to the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. It gets even better. One more paragraph. The son of Ira Magaziner, I don't know who he is, the chief executive of the foundation's health policy arm, that's the Clinton Foundation, the son of Ira Magaziner, the chief executive of the foundation's health policy arm, served as a clean energy associate at the foundation, that's the Clinton Foundation, before taking a project finance position at Sun Edison last year. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is there for you to read. Headline, Pelosi's husband invested in solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion. It is in an unknown publication to those in San Francisco who only read the San Francisco Chronicle, a wholly owned subsidiary of Willie Brown and Nancy Pelosi, according to those who know what's really going on. It's in the Washington Free Beacon, a right-wing fanatical newsletter of no importance. But it was written by Lachlan Markey, who could be sued if any of this was false. And, of course, if we had a legitimate government, meaning a Republican Party at all, there'd be an immediate congressional investigation. But since we have no Republican Party, as you well know, other than a group of vermin who are conspiring to deny a single candidate his presidency, or his right to even run for the presidency, you will not see such a congressional investigation. So I turn it over to you, the people. This election, by the way, is all about corruption. This election is all about the stench coming out of Washington, is it not? Raise your hand if you disagree with me. I see, let's see, in the millions of people out there, no hands. Because left, right, or center, you all know this election is about one thing, which is the stink, the rotten stink of the garbage coming out of Washington. The dirtiest people in the world are running this country. My friends, that's what this election is about. Now, some would say Bernie will clean up Washington. I don't think anyone would say Hillary would clean up Washington. How could she clean up Washington if she is Washington? Some say that Cruz will clean up Washington. To me, that's doubtful in that he is Washington. He's a sitting senator, the last I checked. So all of them are career politicians except one, a businessman who you don't like. I like him. I like him because I think because he's an outsider, he's just likely to do the right thing. I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that explains his popularity. But then again, I could be wrong, even though I'm never wrong in politics. In my 22 years, I've never been wrong in politics. I've been wrong in my personal life. I've been wrong on certain facts about scientific issues once in a while. I have never, ever been wrong in politics. So I ask you, and I'm really fair on this. Notice I didn't say you can only call if. I said, which of the candidates is more likely to stop the stench of corruption coming out of Washington? Is it Cruz, Trump, Hillary, or Bernie? Today being the New York primary, I'd especially like to hear from WABC. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. So today's the primary day in New York. It's a winner-take-all state. Whoever wins on the Republican side, that is, gets all of the delegates. It's different on the Democrat side. I won't go into the minutiae. I'll leave that to the political science professors in junior colleges to bore you to death with that. The big issue is corruption in America has never been as great as this, so far as I can tell. Under Barack Obama, corruption is endemic. It's systemic. You know, you look back to the early days of the last century, and you can read about the Teapot Dome scandal, which I learned about in high school. It brought down a government. The Teapot Dome scandal was nothing compared to what I just read to you. Nothing whatsoever. So we're talking about this corruption. We're asking you which of the candidates is more likely to stop the corruption. Is it Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Hillary, or Bernie? John on WMAL has a unique idea. Let's hear it. John, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Mr. Savage. The topic really, strikes me, resonates with me today. I don't know that any single candidate can really resolve the problem. You know, there's organizations that are there supposed to do it, but our Department of Justice doesn't do it. We have IG groups within agencies across the government that are supposed to be independent to do it. So, I think whether it's, you look at the IRS situation with Lois Lerner, it gets to the point where there's no ramifications. There's no skin in the game if something happens. I still walk away. I still get my...
So what you're saying is a fish rots from the head down, and since Barry Obama has a rotten character, he's rotted out the whole government. Isn't that what you just said?
That's basically it.
He has absolutely no character. He has no integrity whatsoever. He has permitted the country to melt down into a cesspool like a third world nation. And the only people he attacks are those of us who earn a living and pay taxes. To him, we're the greatest enemy.
Yeah, why?
So isn't this election to straighten out what this bum has done to this country?
That you can claim the fifth in front of a hearing and walk away. You and I can't do that.
Yeah, I noticed that. I could not believe those IRS hearings where they were saying things that we hadn't heard. In other words, under this monster running the country, I saw government officials taking the fifth for the first time in my entire life. The only time I had seen it done before were during the Valachi papers when a mafioso was in hearings and he took the Fifth Amendment. Now we were seeing minions of Barack Obama taking the Fifth Amendment. Isn't that what you're saying about corruption? So what do you do when you have a corrupt president who permits the endemic nature of corruption to seep through all the halls of Congress? What you do is you impeach him. Isn't that true?
That's what the process is.
Okay, so why did the Republicans fail to impeach him all these years? Because they are part of the same one-party system, which brings us down to this election. We know that both parties are corrupt. We know they both stink. So we're looking for an outsider, which explains the insurgency of Sanders and the insurgency of Trump. Make no mistake about it. There's more in common between those two than you may imagine in so many different ways. And there's a lot of overlap, and I think people know that. If you care to join in on this, I'll take your calls. WABC in New York. Bruce, welcome to the program. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Okay, Mike, I know this call is not going to result in me getting a book sent to you, but I'm a Sanders supporter, and I can tell you the past 8 years, Obama has done the dirty work for the Republican establishment. You could look at it upon especially the immigration part, affirmative action. And to me, the banking scandal, we can blame anybody we want. We know it goes back big time to Clinton, but it was also passed on to Bush, who took it, and he expanded this problem.
I'm not, so far I haven't argued with you. I just said the same thing. I said both parties are corrupt. So what makes you think Bernie Sanders can clean up the corruption when he is a cohort of some of the most corrupt members of Congress in American history?
Right, but here's the difference now.
Wait. How long has Bernie Sanders been a senator? How long has he been in Congress?
He's been there for...
Many years. So doesn't he do business with these very crooks that we want brought to justice? How is he going to clean up the crooks he does business with? That's all. End of story. Chess game over.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
You know, in every novel, every story, there's a beginning, middle, and an end. And there's usually a hero and a villain. And we all like to see that the hero in the end wins and the villain gets punished. Unfortunately, in America today, the reverse is true. The villains rise to the top and the heroes are punished. Mainly our war heroes, our U.S. Marines. Many of them are rotting in Fort Leavenworth prison for having shot the vermin before they were killed themselves. And it started with George Bushy. I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to get these men out of jail. In some cases I helped, in some cases I couldn't. The country is upside down. The Pope, upside down. He brings in Syrian Muslim refugees to Italy. I could see if he wanted to make a showcase of bringing in Syrian Christians who are being decimated in a Holocaust right in front of our eyes. But the Pope is corrupt. The whole West is rotten. The whole West is rotting. So now we look at our own country. Insider trading. Billions of dollars of taxpayer money going up in smoke. No congressional oversight, nothing. So the election is all about this corruption. I mean, make no mistake about what do you think it's about, a personality contest. It's not about personality. The people know we're at a breaking point, and they want the villains punished. And so we're saying, okay, I like this one, I like this one, this one. So I'm asking you a simple question. Your candidate, whoever it is, Cruz, Trump, Hillary, or Bernie, which of them is more likely to stop this endemic corruption, which is now a mile high? WFAY in Arkansas. Steve, go ahead. Fire away on the Savage Nation.
I appreciate the time. I believe that Cruz probably the better answer, simply because I think Trump has been a part of the corruption for the last 30 years. I believe that as a participator on either side, you're just as guilty. I don't think that you have to be...
Well, wait, hold on. You just made a blanket statement. Where is Trump's corruption? Did I miss something?
That's the same kind of statement Trump makes. I'm only stating and replying to his own statements with his own...
No, please, don't play Philadelphia lawyer. You just made an accusation against the candidate. What has Trump done that I don't know about that's corrupt? Maybe I'll change my mind if you can lay it out on the table for us.
He paid Hillary to come to his wedding. Now, maybe that's not illegal.
Excuse me, sir. Was he in office at the time?
Absolutely not.
Okay, is it a crime to go to someone's wedding?
No, it's certainly not.
All right, so I don't understand where you're coming from. You could be a Cruz supporter without buying the farm with these big lies now about Trump. You may not like him. You may think he's a slick con man. But don't make stuff up, please. It's not going to cement your argument.
Well, now I'm using him.
All right, you're trying to be a clever guy and use his, but no one got the joke. It didn't play in the big league, that's all. It didn't open on Broadway. Let's put it to you that way. Played in summer stock, that remark, for about 3 seconds till they went out for the Kool-Aid. So who can clean it up the best? Kern, K-E-R-N, Armando, line four. You're on the Great Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Armando?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Just for the record, I'm a Mexican supporter for Trump. I think, you know, he'd be the best candidate for cleaning out Washington only because, you know, business is in his blood. He's not going to be playing politics, and he doesn't take out crap. So, you know, I think he'd be the best one for it.
This is what I like about, I like plain-speaking people. I got a chuckle out of it. Business is in his blood, and he doesn't take any crap. I mean, I sort of cuts to the chase. This is what most of us feel about him, which is why he's so popular. We don't need to spend the volumes on this candidate and that candidate's bona fides. Business is in his blood. This is corruption. It's illegal what I'm talking about today. If you have advanced knowledge through a wife or a husband, if that is true, about a company and you invest in it, that is corrupt. That's illegal.
I agree. And you know, if you watch any debate, you know, you ask a politician a question and they answer by saying everything and nothing. And Trump is being real. He's answering questions and he's keeping it short and simple. You know, there's no.
Well, you know, he was. Did you hear my interview with him yesterday on this program?
You know what? I missed it. I had to get to work, but, you know.
I understand. Well, listen to me. I'll tell you, you can get it on michaelsavage.com. It's still up there. But what I want to say is I said to him something, and he disagreed with me in a very intelligent way. And people always miss this about Trump because they've got their minds made up. They said, oh, he doesn't answer any questions. He speaks in generalities. And he does that to a great extent, but sometimes he doesn't. And when he doesn't, you actually hear his policy. So I said to him, you know, as a businessman, you probably could run the government more efficiently than anybody, et cetera, however I was putting it. And he said, well, we have to be kinder than just be a businessman in running a country. He didn't agree with me that we should run the country like a business, which is what was in one of my books. It's actually in Government Zero. He said, no. He said, a country is different than a business. We have to be more gentle and kinder than a business would be. So he even allowed for the welfare state, by the way, in his answer, which I thought was quite unusual for a man who was seen to be such a hard-nosed businessman. But in terms of corruption, I agree with the rest of what you just said. I think he's tough, and I think he's likely to see what's fair, and he's liable to take on the Washington hardliners who seem to be above the law. At least they think they are. Armando, do you want a copy of Teddy and Me or Government Zero?
Government Zero, please. I've been meaning to buy that.
My friend, it's on the way. It's probably more relevant today than when it was published last October. I don't push the books very much for a couple of reasons. I find it to be tawdry to do so, number one. I'll be honest with you, it embarrasses me. Number two, I feel that, you know, you can read about the book on the internet. You could read it on michaelsavage.com. You could look it up yourself. But this show is about ideas. It's about radio. It's not about selling you a book. So I hope that you enjoy reading that book. Who can clean it up the best is the question. KSFO, Gene, you're on the Savage Nation from San Francisco, the most corrupt city in the world. What's on your mind?
Well, Congress, it's not illegal for Congress to have insider trading. They passed a law a few years ago. There was a stink about it, and then they passed a law that said it was okay. And now it's not illegal for them to do it, so they can't be held accountable because they are not breaking any laws.
So tell me this magical law you just mentioned.
I don't know the particulars about it. I remember reading it a few years ago on something called Washington's blog. He's a very good blogger that covers Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of on the
left. So explain to me, if you will, how Martha Stewart went to prison for alleged insider trading.
Well, she's just a commoner. She might be an elite entertainer, but she's not the elite of the elite in government. So she, you know, has to live by the rules that they make. They make the rules. They don't have to live by them. Just like, you know, everything else that they do.
I'm not sure that you are correct, because there is a Pelosi principle, as I mentioned earlier from that article, where she made a little bit of money on the Verizon deal. Remember that story?
Yeah, but that might have been what caused the stink.
Pelosi has previously been accused of trading stock based on information gleaned through her official duties, says the article. She participated in Visa's initial public offering, or the IPO, just as the company fought a House bill to subject credit card companies to increased regulation. So Pelosi wanted it shot down. The measure failed. So then a law was passed in the wake of that controversy, which now prohibits members of Congress from using non-public info for personal gain. Language in that measure was informally dubbed the Pelosi provision. So I think you have it backwards. I think that there's a new law that prohibits members of Congress from using non-public information for personal gain. I think it's the opposite. In other words, it used to be okay for them to do this, but not now.
No, they came back after that. After that was all passed and got done and it kind of washed away, they came back and redid it and made it legal again. You have to keep looking.
Well, here's another article from the same Lachlan Markey from August 15, 2014. Pelosi subsidies benefit husband's investment in Dem mega donors company. CEO donated to Pelosi, bundled for Obama as Dem leader boosted his real estate holdings, and they name names. And they're all in this article. So this is nothing new under the sun.
Oh, and
the company CEO, Mark Benioff, is a high-dollar Democratic donor. It's all in there. And this is about land in Mission Bay. It bought the land from Alexandria Real Estate Equities, which it purchased it from FOCILMB, a division of Democratic financier Tom Steyer's hedge fund. So it's all so closely knit. All of these phonies in the green gangster business, all of these clean energy people are making billions of dollars off it. It's not about cleaning up the environment, is it?
No, it's about feeding their campaigns more money. It's just a big vicious...
So why do you think the Pope is in on the same scam? What has he got to gain by this? Why does he profess the same garbage? Well, what is the Pope... Where does he come off to talk about clean energy? What does he know about that? The only thing the Pope knows about weather is that when it rains, an aide holds up an umbrella for him. What does he know about global warming? The man knows nothing.
I agree. It's all about keeping his churches open and keeping his money flowing. That's why I look at it.
So we read that Salesforce, this company, paid $278 million for 14 acres in Mission Bay, San Francisco in 2010. Real estate values in Mission Bay have skyrocketed in the past decade. From a decrepit and seemingly abandoned old rail yard 15 years ago, Mission Bay has sprouted into San Francisco's fastest-growing neighborhood. Well, you can read about it yourself. Because apparently this author, Lachlan Markey, has a special interest in San Francisco's sterling politicians and what role models they set for America. I don't know the answer to that, Gene. I know that we're all disgusted by people who make money in this manner. We'd all like to have inside information. But the fact of the matter is, if we did and we used it, and the SEC found out about it, you know that that's indictable. Do you know that or not?
I do know that, yes. I watch Billions, too. I love that show.
All right, so in the movie, in the HBO hit series, I think it's Showtime, rather, Billions, it's all about a billionaire hedge fund operator in Connecticut, Axe Capital. And there's a federal prosecutor, played by Paul Giamatti, who is constantly watching this hedge fund guy. He has 20 people trying to catch one of his traders using inside information in a stock pick. And if they see anything that doesn't look right, like it rose inordinately, how they know about it, they'll look into how they got the tip and they'll ask the traders about it. And if there's any intimation that they got inside information, they arrest them. So I'm asking you how that works on television, how it works in New York, and it doesn't work in California. What is the answer to that question?
I wish I knew. It's all.
Well, I have the answer. I'll give you a little of the answers. Why do you think San Francisco was the first city in the nation to have voting ballots in 6 to 8 languages? The answer is because that way they can keep getting elected with people who don't even know what they're voting for. All they know is they're voting for more benefits.
Exactly.
So the fact of the matter is that the more diluted the population becomes, in other words, the more ignorant the population becomes about what is actually going on, the more corruption is possible. And that is why I have called for, in Government Zero, borders, language, culture. Language means English, the official language. And I hope that when Donald Trump becomes president, should he win, he will try to pass a measure or get Congress to pass the measure to prohibit any official business from being done in anything except English and prohibit any ballots from being printed in any language other than English. That would go a long way towards saving the nation from this, let us say, meltdown into a third world cesspool. I'll be back in a moment on the Savage Nation. Take your calls on which candidate. Is it Cruz, Trump, Hillary, or Bernie most likely to stop the corruption? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, you talk about corruption in San Francisco. Let's go to New York City. Headline, New York Post this morning. It's New York City's first relevant primary in decades, and the polls are a mess. What happened in New York? Machines didn't work. Closed polling stations, broken machines Tuesday morning. At PS 73 in the Bushwick section of Brooklyn, residents waiting for the polls to open at 6 a.m. were furious that workers couldn't access keys to the facility. Did you hear this? You can't vote nor cast any type of ballot. The keys are in a lockbox and no one has the key. Tosha Childs wrote on Facebook. You can't even get in the building. A Board of Elections employee was supposedly on the way, she added. Voters in New York City made the same complaint about shuttered polls at another Brooklyn site, 501 Carlton Avenue, not far from the Barclays Center. One woman claims she waited more than 3 hours to vote at a Brownsville polling station at PS 332. Now, if you look into these areas a little more carefully, you'll see that these are, let's say, there's a pattern. The cluster of incidents are in certain types of neighborhoods. And when you analyze that there are two people vying for the votes over there, Clinton and Sanders, and you find out who doesn't want people in New York to vote, you'll see why there's voter suppression. Okay? There's voter suppression because they don't want Bernie to get votes in New York City, in plain English. The only people that can vote are Republicans at this polling site, they're saying. So look into the Clinton machine and see if that has anything to do with missing keys and closed polling stations. So I think we can safely eliminate one of the names from which of the candidates is more likely to stop the corruption. We had four to start with. Can we all safely agree that Hillary can be eliminated from that question? That she be the least likely to stop the stench from the bench that is making us clench? Of course, it's not the bench that we're talking about. It's the stench from the Capitol that is making us clench. Which of the candidates is more likely to stop the corruption coming out of Washington? Cruz, Trump, Hillary, or Bernie? We've eliminated one of the names. We're still open for the others. The phone number here is 855-407-282. When I come back, we have all the news, views, and reviews that you have come to expect on this soaring radio program heard from New York City to San Francisco, the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with us. If you have to leave, sorry about that. For the rest of you, welcome. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What is going on in New York City right now with polls being closed, keys missing, corruption in Congress? You'd say this can't be happening in your country. You'd say this is something you'd expect from South America in the 1940s or 50s. In other words, a banana republic. You'd see things like these, this going on in Uruguay, Paraguay, Venezuela. This is what used to go on. But because Obama has so melted down the integrity of the presidency, and has looked the other way so his cronies in the Democrat and, by the way, Republican machines can benefit from insider deals, there is no oversight whatsoever. So now we're asking you today on the Savage Nation, what is this election about? Is it not about upsetting the apple cart, overthrowing the status quo, bringing in an outsider who might, just might, I say might, I'm a realist, who might clean things up, who might stop the corruption, might put the stench away? So you say, yeah, okay, that's why I'm so worked up. So I'm saying, which of the candidates is more likely to stop the corruption? Cruz, Trump, Hillary, or Bernie? We eliminated Hillary. Because no one listening to this show can argue. I haven't had one Hillary caller, by the way, to say she'd be the most likely to clean up the corruption. For obvious reasons. Do I have to finish the paragraph? Tell me why, of all the callers I got of this national show, none of them called for Hillary to defend her in cleaning up corruption. Because it's part and parcel of their background. Their whole background is that of sort of corruption, insider deals, insider trading. That's why. Then you read in the morning, I go on a Drudge Report like everyone in the business does. And the headline on the bottom, Pelosi husband invested in solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion. And we've been talking about it, and we're just sitting here in shock. Because we all, many of us know the show Billions on Showtime. Insider trading like this is not legal, if it's true. I said, if it is true. If it is true, then you would say, this is not right. None of us would be able to get away with this if we did this. Do you know that if you, let's say, heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from someone about a company somewhere in your village or, in your city or your town, if it's located there, you heard from the inside somewhere that that company was about to go public on a certain date, and that if you then invested in that company prior to the date of its going public on the IPO, and you made a lot of money, do you know that you would be subject to be arrested and tried for insider trading laws? You say, well, how would they ever find out? I'm not in the company. How would they ever find out? I don't know the woman. I heard it from someone who knows the woman inside the company. Well, because there's a vast, extensive bureaucracy called the Security and Exchange Commission, which has investigators all over the country to root out this kind of insider trading. But the question is, do they apply it across the board? Or is their oversight selectively applied? I don't have an answer to that. I think the answer is quite clear that we're now a banana republic, that Obama has so destroyed the integrity of the presidency itself, there is virtually no oversight. The only enemies of this country, according to him, are white heterosexual Christian males returning from the war where they may have killed the enemy before the enemy killed them and put them 6 feet under. They're about the only enemies. And, of course, anyone who voted for a conservative group is the enemy to this administration. In other words, we have a gangster regime who's turned on the population itself. Now that leads us to this election. On the conservative side, you have Trump versus Cruz, and both sides are equally adamant that the other guy is no good. The other guy is absolutely no good, which I think is astonishing that it's come down to this. I mean, who can you blame for it but the candidates themselves? They've been doing it to each other from the beginning, so you can blame them for tarnishing each other, frankly. And that's a big mistake that will come back to haunt them. I saw it happen with the last election, with that stooge, whatever his name was, the guy from Massachusetts. I don't remember his name. I had dinner with him once in North Beach a year before he ran. What was his name? Romney. He was a nice guy, but the minute I brought up illegal aliens, he said, now that's a tough one, I can't address that. I said, well, unless you address that, Mr. Romney, you're not going to get the conservative vote. This is the thing that animates the entire conservative movement. And he said, how's the veal? And I said, the best in the city. And that was the end of that discussion. But the point is that I saw it happen before in the last election when Newt Gingrich, that lout, spent every waking minute destroying Romney. He dug things up on Romney that were then used by Obama to destroy Romney, to his eternal shame. That's what Newt Gingrich did it. Newt Gingrich was predominantly responsible for the opposition research, so far as I could tell, that was then used by Obama to destroy Romney. I saw it then. What am I seeing now? I'm seeing Trump doing it to Cruz and Cruz doing it to Trump. And what I'm afraid of is that this will be fatal. This should not be done. They should not be ripping each other apart. I know how vicious politics are, It's a blood sport. We all know that. It's like a match in a cage. And when the fighters are inside the ring, they don't care about anything outside that ring. On one hand, that's wonderful, but we're not in a fighting match here. We're trying to save America from the corruption of the endemic corruption that has emerged. First, I would say it was really bad under the Clintons when they were in power. And then it got really, really bad under George Bush. The contractors who were making billions of dollars on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan should be arrested for what they've done. Some of them have husbands and wives in Congress. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't know about that. One of them is an esteemed liberal whose husband made bulletproof vests for the troops that failed. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's one of the most esteemed citizens of San Francisco. You mention his name and they say, well, his office building is right there. Whenever there's a charity event, they march in the suits and the gowns, and the waiters practically fall on the floor because they're the most esteemed citizens in San Francisco. Back in the 50s, something like this, you would have had a major playwright doing a play about this corruption, because we had a major playwright when I was a little boy who did this. His name was Arthur Miller. He married Marilyn Monroe, by the way, in a church in San Francisco. And Arthur Miller was a leftist and an honest one at that. And he wrote a play called All My Sons. That's what it was called. It was fabulous. Became a movie with Burt Lancaster and Edward G. Robinson. And it was about a military contractor who builds pistons for airplane engines. And what happens is the movie evolves. The son, played by Burt Lancaster, confronts his father for having cut corners to meet contract requirements in time to make a profit, and the airplane engines failed while our boys were flying the planes in war, and some of the pilots died, including his own brother. In other words, the contractor's son himself died from his father's corruption. I mean, of course, it's biblical. So the Burt Lancaster son confronts the father and says, how can you do this? How could you live with yourself, Dad? And the speech between him and his father, as written by Arthur Miller, is just stunningly poignant. And something that we might get for you in this hour, if Robert can dig it up, because I know we found it before. It's unbelievable. The point is that corruption is not new to this nation. This nation was corrupt from the beginning. I know that there are many people who like to glorify the founding fathers, but they were pretty rotten. And they were much like what's going on today in this election. I found something I didn't get to yesterday on that. Maybe I'll get it during the break. It's not about Karl Marx and Das Kapital, which I was going to read to you today. But I'll find it during the break, and I'll give you some evidence to the statement that I just gave you about the corruption of some of the founding fathers, because I don't like glorifying people in that it's unrealistic. People are people are people. Some are good, some are bad, some are indifferent. Some are more corruptible than others, some are more corrupt than others. You know, that's how it works. And the point is that corruption is endemic in all political structures. When I was a young ethnobotanist, anthropologist, if you want a word you might understand, and I worked in remote villages in the South Pacific, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, some of the most remote islands on Earth, collecting plants. I studied village life, and I saw the same power struggle in village life that I see here. It wasn't quite as corrupt, but it was the same kind of, competition. They were very competitive, and then they lobbied each other in the village to support one person over the other for, let's say, a princely position, if it was not based on blood lineage itself. So it's in the human condition that people will try to compete, try to beat the other guy. It's that simple. However, in the current system we have, we're supposed to have checks and balances to control this corruption, understanding that there will always be this corruption. It's in the human condition. And we know that human beings are corruptible. And if a person can make an extra buck, they usually will. And they're not going to say, I shouldn't. They will, especially in our demoralized times. Or I almost would say amoral times. There's no morals whatsoever, no moral values left. Again, going to San Francisco as the epitome of a meltdown of a nation, you have a sitting congresswoman who calls herself a Catholic grandmother, who glorifies a leather parade where men are on floats naked beating each other up with whips. And she celebrates it, saying it's San Francisco values. And nobody blinks in this city. And so you say, okay, so anything goes. That's the whole point. That's the reason this is happening, because anything goes. So who would you elect for this position of cleaning up the corruption is the question. And the phone number is 855-400-7282, the Savage Nation. Let's go to San Francisco itself for one of the callers. Dave on KSFO line 9, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm not really optimistic about any of the candidates, Michael, but regardless of his politics, I think Sanders is the only one that has a chance in hell of cleaning anything up.
Notice I haven't said anything, but how could he? First of all, why would he do it, and how would he do it?
Well, there are two things. If the incentive for corruption is making money, Bernie's the only one of the three we've eliminated. Clinton, we all agree on that. Bernie's the only one that doesn't have money, never has been about money, doesn't make a lot of money. So if the
right, that's why he's the most dangerous. Never trust a poor man to do the right thing.
Well, on the other hand, you have
on the other extreme, we have Donald Trump, who has billions of dollars. I think he's actually the one who's least likely to be corrupted by the system.
I know you think that. The only thing I would assert is that making money is an addictive thing, and once he gets in that position as a president, it might be so tempting to be involved in the corruption to make money.
You know, theoretically what you say is true, but if he were to win the presidency, don't you think everybody's eyes would be on the money and say, this guy's a billionaire, let's see what he does with steering contracts? Let me ask you something. Let's say he was president and his brother-in-law got a contract for a solar energy firm that got $1 billion in federal grants. Tell me how long that would take for it to be national news.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, yes, it probably would be, but I'm not so sure every eye.
In other words, the media would be all over any dollar that ever traded hands that had any connection to Trump. So I don't think that we have a rational fear of him being corrupted at the presidency. But I understand where you're coming from on the Sanders thing, only I have a different opinion because, A, I've been in the real world of poverty. And I found out that poor people are generally more desperate than rich people. And generally, poor people are less noble than rich people. And I stand by those words. And I'll even quote one of my earliest influences, Somerset Maugham, the author, who said that when he was a young medical doctor in the wards of East London at that time, working amongst the poor in the charity wards, he went in there thinking that poor people would be more noble than rich people who he had grown up with. And he said he found the opposite is true. He said poverty does not ennoble. Poverty tends to bring out the meanest in people. And I found that to be true in my life. I'll be right back. Thank you for the call.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So many of you are asking, you see an article like this on the Drudge Report linked from the Pelosi husband invested in solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion. It's a very serious accusation. It's in the Washington Free Beacon, written by a journalist named Lachlan Markey, who's been following the Pelosi shenanigans for quite a while. And so you say, how do they get away with it in their hometown? How does this story not make it to the San Francisco newspaper? Well, for one, there is no San Francisco newspaper. That's the first thing you've got to know. The newspapers disappeared a long time ago in most towns and cities. In fact, most major cities. As you know, the bias is so overwhelming that their circulation has plummeted to unsustainable levels because people are not going to buy newspapers that are simply propaganda sheets. And there is a very telling interchange in the Godfather movie. After Michael, the son, shoots the corrupt captain, and he is figuring out how they're going to get away with it. Listen to this interchange from the Puzo novel, later the Coppola film, The Godfather.
Tom, this is business, and this man has taken it very, very personal.
Where does it say that you can't kill a cop?
Come on, Mikey.
Tom, wait a minute. I'm talking about a cop that's mixed up in drugs. I'm talking about a dishonest cop, a crooked cop who got mixed up in the rackets and got what was coming to him. That's a terrific story. And we have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we, Tom? And they might like a story like that.
They might. They just might.
It's not personal, Sonny. It's strictly business.
Okay, we have newspaper people, I'm writing it down, on the payroll. We have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we, Tom? Let me write that down. We have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we, Tom? Well, with Anderson Cooper and Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer, do they actually need to have them on the payroll? No. These mortadellas with suits never ever see corruption except on the Republican side. If they stumbled over corruption coming from the Democrat side, they wouldn't report on it. So things have changed, you know. And they've changed for the better, haven't they?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, the Ten Ring Circus is on in New York State today, and we're all waiting for the results tonight. Tomorrow will be a big day. If Trump wins, he gets, it's a winner-take-all state. He gets all the delegates. It's much different for the Democrats. It's much more convoluted, Byzantine, if you will. And as a result of that, some polls are being, you can't get in and vote. So the Hillary machine is in full operational mode in New York City, closing polls. Broken machines, because they don't want, in New York City, Bernie's very popular, much more than she is. She's popular amongst, in the areas where there's cattle, because she's an expert on cattle, if you remember Cattlegate. So those folks who raise cows, those folks who milk cows, those folks who slaughter cows, understand cattle. And they like her. That's where Cattlegate came from. But down in the boroughs, they like the commie. Because the commie is promising them free things, free stuff. He's like the friendly yokel grandfather who's naive enough to actually try to do what he says. And they figure that's good. If they got phones from Obama for doing nothing and they don't pay any income tax, can you imagine how good it'll be under Bernie? What if Bernie says that if I become president, if you see a car that's nicer than yours, you have the right to carjack it in order to make ownership of cars more equal? Because there's an inequality in cars, as you well know. Some people drive broken cars, some drive old cars, some drive new cars, some drive limousines. And that's not fair. You cannot have a city where some are in limousines and some are in broken cars. Some don't even have a car. So when I become executive of the United States of America, I'm going to make certain that those on the bottom can get a car, any car they want in the street. Whether someone is in it or not, they can simply throw the woman to the pavement and take the car. Because I want car, automobile equality. He could promise that. He could promise a lot of things. If someone's walking with a woman who's better looking than the woman that you're with, you're right to take the woman, because there's a well-known, the envy amongst people is about a person's looks, their shoes, and their haircut. And Bernie's going to make sure that everyone has an equally good-looking girlfriend or wife. Swedish Deputy Prime Minister calls 9/11 an accident. She's, of course, a psycho-socialist liberal who welcomes the Muslims. Swedish Deputy Prime Minister called 9/11 an accident. Can you believe this? Of course you can believe it. Take a look at her. Radical feminist. Deputy Prime Minister Asa Romson was heaping praise on a Green Party colleague's work with Muslim groups when she used the Swedish word called accidents to describe the day terrorists deliberately slammed jet planes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. On the show in Sweden called Good Morning Sweden, Gomorrens Sverige, who can pronounce Swedish? I can't even pretend I can. I only study romance languages. Swedish is about the most unromantic language on the planet. And I'm not knocking Swedes, but it's an unromantic language. So here's what she said. He has been chairman of young Muslims in tough situations like the September 11th accidents and similar, Romson told public broadcaster. Her colleague, former housing minister Mehmet Kaplan, resigned his post Monday after comparing Israel's treatment of Palestinians to Nazi oppression of Jews. So there's Sweden today. Remember I did a show a few weeks ago, how we've gone from, what did I call him? From the Iceman to the Nice Man?
Yeah.
Well, now we've gone from the Iceman to the Psycho Woman running Sweden. There are no Vikings anymore. They're all gone. The only Vikings that are left are in prison. The others are just complete milquetoasts. They've been destroyed by the radical feminists who have ripped their nation to shreds, as in the United States of America. The United States of America, you have real men, you have tough men. They're in police departments. They're in the military. Some of them are teachers. You know who they are. But by and large, everyone's afraid to say a word because of the radical nasties who have taken over this country, and they run the country like a prison camp. If you think that everyone around you is a liberal, you're mistaken. It's just that these Nazi feminists, and that's what they are, the speech controllers, they lead you to believe that there are more of them than there are. And so you're afraid to say a word for fear of them saying something to you. The only way to save this country is to stand up to these louts and shout them down. Just look them in the eye and say, you know what, you don't own me. I live in a free country. This is my opinion, and here it is. And I'm going to speak it out loudly like I do on the radio. I take chances every day on the show. What do you think? This is easy? Do you think that I and others in this business do this easily? We don't do it easily. We do it at great risk to ourselves, professionally and in other ways. It's a matter of setting your mind to wanting to tell the truth from your perspective. Otherwise, don't talk. You may as well be a barn animal. You may as well just grunt. That'd be about the same thing as most men do. I went to a bar last night after the show. Oh, here comes a soliloquy now about Mike having food. I went to a bar after the show. It was another hot night in the San Francisco area. So I went down to Sausalito, and I was hot. I hate the heat to begin with. I hate it. I live in the Bay Area to get away from the heat. I love the schmucks who move here from somewhere else. Oh, I love the fine weather. Don't you love? What are you doing here? Why don't you move to L.A. or to Mexico? They love the heat. What are they doing here? They love the heat. Move to Scottsdale, you schmuck. I just sit there. I almost go crazy in my building in the elevator, the morons. Oh, I love the fine weather. Well, let's hope it stays a few more days. Oh, that's wishful thinking. Ugh. I can't wait for the elevator to get to the ground floor so I can run out of there. So I go to a bar. Couldn't take the heat. I went in. It was happy hour. I like happy hours. I love food. There's a whole thing now with $5 entrees and $5 this, $5. So if you don't want to bother with a dinner, you know, if it's okay, you go in. So I went in, all right. I figured I'd get a this and a that, a calamari, a that, a this. And I'm on a new diet again for the 90th time. I try to avoid bar food. So anyway, long and short of it is I order a beer. That's on my new diet. I don't know how that works, but instead of having a vodka martini, vodka only, because I said no more hard liquor after work. It's just devastating to my body. All right, got a beer. It was more calories, but less damage to the body. I can't explain it. All right, so I order the appetizers. My luck, I get stuck between two guys, one on the left, one on the right, and they're talking to each other. They don't know each other. Across the bar to each other, loud. Hey, how them Warriors do? How's that game tonight? Well, it went on just as my food arrived. I didn't know what to do. There was nowhere to go to get away from these yokels. So I stood up with a plate. I went over to the window. It was like one of those nights. And I thought, you know, these are probably nice guys. They're probably listeners to my show, no less. But I said, you know, the average guy is a moron. The average guy is an idiot. This is the kind of stuff they say to each other. This, like, jocular, hey, how's that sport? Yeah, they don't know what's going on around them. And if they did, they wouldn't care. And if they did care, they wouldn't say anything. So I was thinking of creating a boot camp for middle-class white guys who are afraid of their own shadow, afraid to speak out. Teach you how to be a brazen New Yorker. Learn to speak out before you get thrown out is the new Michael Savage seminar. Like this morning, I got up very early, 6:30, so I go to a mall, an empty mall. There's nothing more depressing in the world than walking in an unopened outdoor mall with a dog at 6:30 in the morning in a suburb. The only thing is open is like a Starbucks. Or Safari. I didn't expect the stores to be open. After all, I haven't gotten enough of the... I didn't get my fill of dummies yet. I didn't get my fill yet of clothing store dummies and the people in the stores who look like clothing store dummies or want to look like clothing store dummies. So, all right, there's nothing there, but at least I'm walking. I'm not sitting just looking at the news. I see this poor guy in his empty parking lot as I'm leaving 20 minutes later. white guy, middle age, gets out of his car, econo car. I see him in a poor suit, you know, like one of those buy one, get the store free, you know, kind of stores. I'm not knocking him. And a cheap briefcase. And I see he's going to some kind of sales call early in the morning. I see he has the computer and the briefcase. I felt bad for him. It's not like I mocked him for having a cheap suit. So he had a cheap suit on. All right. And he had a briefcase with a thing. And I see the poor guy like getting himself dusted up. And he's getting ready to go into a building, probably to make a sales call. I felt so bad for him. All I said to myself was, this guy doesn't stand a chance. This guy's DOA. This guy died in the starting gate. And if you know anything about horse racing, there are horses that, to be polite about it, let's put it to you this way. It's a family show. Let's say when the bell goes off and the gate goes up, the horse poops on himself. He gets so nervous. There are people like that. Either they're high strung or they're insecure, and the guy's got to make a living. He's got everything against him. He's white. He's middle class. He's middle-aged. You know, if a minority marched in there with the briefcase, the sale would have been made before he walked through the door. They would have bought the entire, whatever he had in the briefcase, they would have bought. The only minority left in the United States of America is the straight white male. You know that, I know that, everyone knows that, and they're an endangered species. Now I do a jump cut for you in the pastiche of my mind. I jump cut to images of World War II. I jump cut to images of the Vietnam War, and I see men on the battlefield. They look just like that guy. They're the men who saved this country. The guy's father, grandfather, saved the country in World War II. I see pictures from Vietnam last night. I could hardly tell you what it did to me. I see battlefields of some battle. I don't know, Doray or what, I don't know what the town was, where they were outnumbered 12,000 to 400 in one particular situation. And the Marines held that particular hill. And I looked at the battlefield scenes that was astonishing. Black men picking up white men picking up black men, white guys picking up white, black guys off the battlefield. I saw no hatred. I didn't see the hatred that has evolved under Barry Obama, who has made black hate white hate black, gay hate straight hate gay. I never saw anything like what's gone on in this nation because of this devious monster in the White House and the psychopathic nutcases around him who hate the country and doing everything they can to destroy it on a daily basis. Yes, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Not the way you see it. It's the way I see it. I know it's true. I've studied this from the inside out. And so the election is all about what this president of ours has done to this country and done to the people. You want someone to come along to bring the people back together again as best as he or she can. I take out the she because she's been eliminated as the most corrupt of all candidates. Everyone knows that. That's why the liberals are flocking to the Seltzer man. They know she's corrupt. That's why they want her. She's a used tire, retreaded. It's about to blow out again. They know it's just a retread with a white wall on it. They've seen what she's done. They don't want it again. So the default is to go to the old liar. The corrupt, the Seltzer man, I call him. Promising what he can't deliver. On the Democrat side, because they're not smart enough to understand that they would do better on the Republican side, and they're biased fundamentally. They have only one mindset. They must vote Democrat. They cannot see us outside of their nose. You know, nose says D, 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 D. So if I take a corrupt old communist, throwaway, I'll take him over any Republican. They don't even know why. It would hurt them. It would damage their life, but they don't care. They don't think. So now we go to the question of the day. Who amongst the candidates is most likely to stop the filth and corruption and the division between the people? Is it Hillary, Trump, Cruz, or Bernie? In the first hour of this bake-off, we threw out Hillary because she is known as the most corrupt of the candidates, according to the callers and according to what we know. So now we go back to the callers. I almost fell into a Bernie. I felt my voice accidentally shift into a Bernie. I got to be careful. Sometimes when I start imitating characters, the next thing I know, I'm in the character without even knowing I'm in the character. I might do it tonight and see if I get better service if I go, let's say, to a happy hour somewhere. How much do you do the appetizer? How much? Can I get 2 for 1? He would always try to get the extra meatball. If they gave him, let's say, 2 meatballs for $5.50 on a what's it called? Happy hour. He'd ask for a third meatball. Some might say, You know, I have nothing against the two for $5, very good value, but I'm looking at them very carefully. One of them is very small. There's clearly one ball is bigger than the other, and that small meatball indicates that I need additional meat. Can you please come back with a larger ball on the other side so I have two meatballs of equal size? You can take back the little meatball if you want, and I will work on the big meatball. But in the interim, I want you to understand that I want two equal balls in that plate. That is fairness. That's equality. Sorry. Don't we need some comic relief? This is Bernie thing. Thank God for Bernie Sanders. It was a horribly boring election. Just hatred and anger. And her with the shriking and the hot sauce in the... What was her with that hot sauce in the bag? Pandering to black people. Did you hear about that? That's a big story. She goes on some unknown radio show in New York that's... I don't know what it is. I think it's African-American hosts. And she says she carries... They ask that story, what does she carry in her pocketbook? She pulls out hot sauce. So even the hosts, not known for a high intelligence on that show, say, aren't you pandering to black... You got to hear the sound. We have it. I'll be back to listen to it with you right here in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. In the next hour, we'll report on huge, huge amounts of voter disenfranchisement and polling problems in New York City that's going on right now. We'll tell you which candidate is behind it, likely behind it. 125,000 voters in Brooklyn removed from the voter rolls. Widespread reports of voters having trouble accessing polling sites. New York City Controller Scott Stringer said they're going to audit the Board of Elections. And listen to what he said. There is nothing more sacred in our nation than the right to vote. Tell that to the Cruz supporters. Somehow they even know that in Brooklyn. There is nothing more sacred in our nation than the right to vote. They'll go tell that to the vermin in the Republican Party in Colorado or Wyoming. They seem to have forgotten what nation they're living in. They think they live in Uruguay. WMAL, Bill, go to the... You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead. Fire away. Quick.
Hello.
All right. Take a walk, for God. Don't give me duds. See, I could blow right now, but I won't. I'll control myself. Bad call screening is worse than no call screening. You're better off to have no calls at all. When I do that, I throw the whole show. It goes into the garbage can. It's that simple. Okay. We'll try another one. WJR, line 8, Marcus. Go ahead. Fire away.
Yeah, I'd like to say Governor Kasich, and I have a couple reasons for that. There's only been two candidates to have a track record as having executive powers. Kasich being one of them. I think he actually has the best resume for it. The other candidate being Trump. I think he would have.
I actually agree with you about Kasich being a good man, and I think he's a fine man. I actually like Kasich, but I don't think he's electable. I think he's too lackluster. He has no charisma for a national election. He seems like he's sleepwalking. That doesn't mean he's a bad person. I'm talking about winning against the Democrats. But I agree with you. Kasich could clean the country up.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, Hour 3. Of course, everyone is waiting for the results out of New York, and they won't be in for a while. Lots of corruption. Polls magically closed. People missing from the voter rolls. In other words, something you'd expect from a banana republic or a state that is under the, the control in that area, New York City, of certainly not Bernie Sanders. It's the Clinton machine. In my estimation, that's responsible for what's going on in New York right now. But there are other stories to pay a little attention to. One of them is this one. Obama says there's nothing to worry about from Middle Eastern refugees. And he's rolling out the red carpet to millions around the world, and of course tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Syrian Muslims here. That's because he's a fellow traveler. Obama replied to ISIS's March 22nd mayhem in Brussels, meaning their genocidal slaughter, by reasserting, quote, our openness to refugees fleeing ISIS's violence. Isn't it ironic that one of the men who brutalized Brussels, slaughtering 32 innocent people, including four Americans, and wounding 300 more, was one of the same refugees who Obama promises openness to? Yeah, well, don't pay any attention to that. A head rots, a fish rots from the head down. Here's another little story for you. The FBI tells a panel it needs hackers to keep up with tech companies. That's clear as a bell. Of course it needs hackers. They should conscript hackers and force them to work for them, the way the U.S. military conscripted members of organized crime in order to work for them in World War II. That's the only way to beat these devils, is to get people who are devious to work for the government. That's my opinion. Meaning, hackers are fundamentally criminals, whether you like them or not. And if the government's going to defeat ISIS, we're going to need these criminals to work for the government. Those of you who like socialized medicine, America's largest health insurer has just dropped out of Obamacare because it's unsustainable. If you like your United Healthcare Obamacare plan, you cannot keep your United Healthcare Obamacare plan. Why? Because despite what Nancy Pelosi said, the nation's largest health insurer is dropping out of the central policy initiative of the corrupt Obama presidency. On a call this morning with analyst United Health Group CEO Stephen Hemsley said that United Health is pulling out of almost all of the Obamacare exchanges. He says next year we will remain in only a handful of states, and we will not carry financial exposure from exchanges into 2017. Now, why do you think this is happening? It's because the minute they opened it up to all comers, people with catastrophic illnesses jumped in and buried the company with procedures that they couldn't afford, in plain English. That's what you mean by, you know, predetermined conditions. Okay, so how is this going to end out? It's real simple, the way Obama wanted it. Obama never wanted private insurers in the health insurance business. He always wanted only a handful of insurers left along the lines. Are you ready for this? Follow the bouncing ball from the first hour to this one, because I'm going to make a prediction, and you're going to say, how does he know these things? Are you ready for it? Follow the bouncing ball. Where have all of these solar contracts been steered? Why, only into a few hands. We hear about the environment. That's the sales point. But it's all about greed and corruption. And so the green gangsters get the money, then they go out of business, and no one pays the bills on the money that they got from the government, meaning from you. The same is going to happen with Obamacare insurers. They're going to go into the hands of only a few people who are in the health insurance business, who will get massive government contracts, and then when they're unsustainable, they will go bankrupt, and you'll be left holding the bag. All you got to do is watch television to know the answers to every question when it comes to government. I was a big fan of the TV show The Sopranos on HBO many years ago. Famous segment about the guy who was a gambler who owns the big sporting goods store. Remember him? And he gets into a private gambling game with some of the guys. And he's a friend of Tony's. And Tony says, hey, look, you better be careful, man. If you come in here and you lose, I may be your friend, but I'm going to have to collect. And the guy's a degenerate gambler, and he can't say no. So he's like, you know, I want to gamble. Tony, I want to gamble. He says, I'm warning you, he says to him, Patrick, we know each other since we're kids. You gamble in here and you lose, I'm going to collect us. So the story is the guy gambles and all night and he loses. So now what happens? Sopranos suddenly own a part of the sporting goods store. So the gang shows up and they start emptying the shelves. They take stuff out the back door. And then they start using his credit cards to run first-class tickets. And that's how they just run. In other words, they bust out the sporting goods store. This is what's being done to America under Obama. They busted out the United States of America the same way the sporting goods store was busted out in The Sopranos. And no, the good guys don't win. I'm sorry. It doesn't end that way. On that pleasant note, we'll move to the callers at 855-407-282. We can continue with the question of which of the candidates is most likely to stop the corruption. Is it Cruz, Trump, or Bernie? Hillary Hillary was eliminated in the first round, in round one of hour one. Nobody thinks she'll stop the corruption. But before we go to that, let's go to some of the sound that we collected for you today on the program. And I think we should begin with this to show you how corrupt the nation is, not only from the financial point of view, but from the point of view of IQ. The IQ of the nation has been melted down to a point where the poor kids in college have no IQ whatsoever. They have no intelligence. And I heard it first this morning on the KSFO morning show here in San Francisco. Sherry Yee got it originally. Here are University of Washington students being interviewed on how they feel about unisex bathrooms in clip number one. Go ahead, Robert.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
So how many years ago did Michael Savage tell you that ultra tolerance is killing us? 15, 20? How many years ago did I tell you that this insanity being pushed by the radical sexual operatives would destroy America from the top down? And now it's come to the point where these poor children raised on medication, largely Adderall, Ritalin, drugs like that, but more particularly raised on the medicine of liberalism, have so destroyed their minds that they don't know what a man is or what a woman is. But it gets even better when the reporter goes to the next question saying, what if I told you I was Chinese, even though I'm a white man? Listen to clip two.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I would say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions, just because on the outside I would assume that you're a white man.
This is a product of tolerance, ultra tolerance. This is a product of don't be judgmental, which the nannies have been lecturing us for 25 years. Oh, don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. Well, without judgment, what you wind up with are children like this who don't know anything. They can't determine anything as real. Nothing's real to them. And that's a form of judgmentalism. Perhaps the worst form of judgmentalism is not being able to judge anything. That is the ultimate form of judgmentalism, is the inability to judge anything. And now in clip three, the guy says to him, what if I told you I was 7 years old? Listen to three.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
See how nice she is? Mommy taught her, we don't hit back, and we don't judge anyone. And if a grown man wants to be a woman to go peek at girls in the bathroom, that's okay. He feels like he's a woman. You don't want to punish anybody. And if a man is 30 and he feels 7, he can go in with children if he's a pervert. And the stupid girl says if he feels 7, that's good for him. And she says it with such self-confidence that you know what kind of parents she had. They're all around the place. The parents who tell a child how wonderful they are for doing nothing. I told you about the Johnnies on the baseball fields. Johnny swings and misses, and the idiot father screams, good job, Johnny! That's a good job, Johnny. You missed, you idiot. You don't have to call him an idiot, but you say, you know, you ought to practice a little bit more. You know how this is working, don't you? You know how this ends, don't you? How this ends? You know how this little story ends? Well, you don't. Listen to the next one in clip four to see what your children have become in the liberalized, insane America.
If I told you I'm 6'5", what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5". If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
You hear this? No lines or boundaries. Don't tell anyone they're wrong because mommy taught them that they're never wrong and don't be judgmental. Ladies and gentlemen, I have spent 22 years of my life on the radio trying to restore sanity to an insane nation, and I must tell you that I have failed. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. It is the Savage Nation. You heard that with your own ears. This is what University of Washington students feel about unisex bathrooms, a white man who says, what if he felt he was Chinese, a grown man who says, what do you think if I told you I was 7 years old, what if I told you I was 6 feet 5 inches tall, and you hear the smiling, happy little drug-addicted child who knows nothing. This is a woman who thinks that anyone who has a judgment about anything is mean. This is an idiot college girl and a college boy raised by liberal parents to never judge anyone's behavior. This all came to us from the sexual fascists who started this 30 years ago, saying that whatever you feel, do. It feels good, do it. Don't be judgmental. Everything is equal. If you have these feelings, act on them. Suppress nothing. And now we come 30 years later to the point where if you ask these poor children, what do you feel, what do you say to me if I tell you I'm Chinese when I'm not? That's okay. If you feel you're Chinese, that's fine. Well, how do you feel about unisex bathrooms? That's fine. If a man feels like he's a woman, he can come peek around in a girl's bathroom or in a locker room. I don't care. Mommy told me not to be judgmental. That's fine. And with the, you hear the voice, though. So now, if you extrapolate from this and you go to these children, and this is typical, by the way, of any college in America, not just the University of Washington, and you say to them, how do you feel about the Muslims blowing people up in Paris? And use those words. They would say, that's very judgmental of you to say Muslim. You shouldn't relate any religion or race to any kind of terrorism, because terrorism comes in many forms from all sorts of people. White people, after all, dropped the bomb on Nagasaki, and so forth and so on. This is what we're facing. This is why we're defeated. This is why we're doomed. Because liberalism ultimately is a suicide mission. It is the suicide of a person and the suicide of a nation to be ultra-tolerant. I didn't say be mean. I didn't say go out of your way to be a complete you-know-what. I said, but if you lose the ability to be a human being who can make a rational decision about such things, then you are fundamentally no longer a person. You have no brains left. College girl. She get a bachelor's degree, then a master's. And she won't be judgmental. She'll be another daffy moron running around in a white suburb somewhere with another drug child, judging nobody, thinking she's God herself because she's so good. And she'll put a little peace sign on her curb. And she'll ride her bicycle every day for the environment. And she'll think she's better than everybody else. And she'll vote for Hillary. No, she'll vote for Bernie because Bernie's for equality. And then so it goes and so it goes and so it goes. And that brings me to a point in the show which I wanted to get to at the beginning, but since it's primary day, I don't know that I even should do this. Maybe I should do it tomorrow. I wanted to compare Karl Marx's Das Kapital to Bernie Sanders' Das Seltzer. And I don't know that I can make the jump cut, because I think that if we go from Das Kapital to Das Seltzer in one swoop, I'll lose my audience. But Das Kapital is the Communist Manifesto, fundamentally, written by Karl Marx. He's the one who poisoned the minds of many, many people and brought about first the Bolshevik Revolution and the Communist Revolution, which led to the death of over 100 million people in the last century, because he was seeking fairness. Karl Marx preached that there was no equality in Russia and the world. And he wanted equality in economics. And, of course, he came from an upper-middle-class wealthy family, and he was only concerned about the poor, much like Hillary, much like Bernie. They wanted to help the poor in order to help themselves. And so in Das Kapital, which I had to read in college, he wrote about the concept of surplus value of labor and its consequences for capitalism. And I'm not going to go into it. You can read it yourself. Then we jump cut to Das Seltzer by Bernie Sanders. Sanders was raised in Brooklyn, New York. That's not a crime unto itself. He graduated University of Chicago in 1964. At the time, that was not a crime. But while he was a student in Chicago, he was an active radical maniac, and he organized for the Congress of Racial Equality and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Raise your hand if you know those groups, because many of you were members of those groups, and you know from the inside what they really wanted to do. They wanted to line up and shoot people in the middle class to bring about a revolution in the United States. After settling in Vermont in 1968, Das Seltzer, well, I'll continue when I come back on the Savage Nation. So today's the primary day in New York. It's a winner-take-all state. Whoever wins on the Republican side, that is, gets all of the delegates. It's different on the Democrat side. I won't go into the minutiae. I'll leave that to the political science professors in junior colleges to bore you to death with that. The big issue is corruption in America has never been as great as this, so far as I can tell. Under Barack Obama, corruption is endemic. It's systemic. You know, you look back to the early days of the last century, and you can read about the Teapot Dome scandal, which I learned about in high school. It brought down a government. The corruption in the United States of America has never been at this peak. Never. Under this monster in the White House, the corruption is now so out of control that a story came out today that summarizes it all. Pelosi's husband, you know who she is, don't you? Old Nancy, the green energy bumbler Pelosi. Well, the article, if it's true now, I don't know. It came out today in the freebeacon.com based upon congressional financial disclosures. If it's true, it's bigger than Martha Stewart. And you know what happened to Martha Stewart? But then, of course, there was no President Obama or Loretta Lynch in power at the time. Pelosi's husband invested in solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion. Now, I'll read the story to you, because if it's true, it's hugely important in this election. And by the way, if you think it's limited to Pelosi, you're mistaken. Take a little look at Dianne Feinstein's nepotism and insider dealings, according to so many sources that are not being published. So I ask you again, we all know the country has never been more corrupted, and we're all begging for a change. We want an outsider to come in and, frankly, not only clean it up, but put the crooks in jail. Which of the candidates is most likely to stop the corruption? Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders? Simple question. If you're calling about any of these candidates, on what basis do you say that your candidate is most likely to stop the corruption that has now reached monumental proportions? The phone number here is 855-407-282. Pelosi's husband invested in a solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion, says the article, by Lachlan Markey. Sun Edison is now eyeing bankruptcy. But Paul Pelosi invested right before a 2014 stock rally. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi's husband bought up to $250,000 of stock in a now financially troubled green energy company just weeks before it announced a major 2014 acquisition that sent stock prices soaring, public records show. Now, as you well know, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, and the other girls from San Francisco's Sparkling Bay are all big proponents of green energy. They hate oil. They hate coal. Of course, the oil is wonderful because it produces fuel for their G5s. I think one of them flies maybe a G6 by now. I don't think they'd be caught dead in a G4 unless it was a government jet aircraft that they're not paying for at all. But it is fuel, after all, that fuels these beautiful airplanes. Sun Edison told regulators last week that it is eyeing bankruptcy under the weight of $11.7 million in debt. But in late 2014, says the article, investors were bullish on the company, which manufactures and operates solar and wind power facilities. Barry Obama loves solar and wind. Loves solar and wind. Hates coal and oil. In its 2014 purchase of wind energy company First Wind further bolstered the reputation of the company, wrote one market watcher at the time. And quote, perhaps unsurprisingly, Sun Edison's stock soared an astonishing 29% on news of this acquisition alone. Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, had invested just in time, you see. Just in time, just by chance. Now, I'm watching the show Billions. There are federal prosecutors that look into insider trading. But in the West, you see, in the West Coast, there is no federal prosecutor. We don't have a Perry Barra. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the gentleman's name. But in New York State, they have a New York attorney named Mr. Barra who put away the most powerful politician in the state next to Governor Cuomo. Mr. Holy Roller himself, Sheldon Silver, was marched away in handcuffs for a lifetime of insider trading and other shenanigans. But on the West Coast, you see, we have no U.S. attorney. They don't exist. It's a Wild West out here. Still the Wild West. The article goes on. Pelosi's office did not respond to questions about the timing of the purchase and whether she or her husband had any advanced knowledge of the deal, says the article. The article goes on. Pelosi had previously been accused of trading stock based on information gleaned through her official duties. She participated in Visa's initial public offering as the company fought a House bill to subject credit card companies to increased regulation. The measure failed to pass. A law passed in the wake of that controversy prohibits members of Congress from using non-public information for personal gain. Now listen to this. Language in that measure was informally dubbed the Pelosi provision for reasons you can well understand. Old Nancy Pelosi steered more than $1 billion in federal subsidies to a light rail project that likely improved the value of the San Francisco headquarters of cloud computing company Salesforce, in which her husband had invested up to $1 million. Paul Pelosi's stake in Sun Edison will likely force the wealthy investor to take a haircut if the company declares bankruptcy, says the article. First Wind acquisition turned out to be a significant part of a larger expansion over the last 2 years that left the company with unsustainable levels of debt. On the heels of its First Wind deal, in July 2015, Sun Edison announced that it would buy residential power company Vivint Solar for $2.2 billion. Well, its stock initially improved on the news and then began its precipitous decline. The Vivint deal fell apart in March. The company accused Sun Edison of breach of contract, and Sun Edison announced that it had been subpoenaed by the Department of Justice over the failed acquisition. Sun Edison has maintained a strong presence in Washington. Listen to this very carefully. Sun Edison has maintained a strong presence in Washington, says the article, throughout its financial woes. The company has spent more than $1 million on its lobbying operations since 2011. And who did they hire? Who did this company hire to spin what they did? Well, it has employed lobbyists with the powerhouse Podesta Group since 2012. Do you know who Podesta is? Does anyone know who Mr. Podesta is? The Podesta Group is run by a top Hillary Clinton fundraiser, the Podesta. Its co-founder chairs her presidential campaign, to which Sun Edison donated last year. The company has also donated to the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. It gets even better. One more paragraph. The son of Ira Magaziner, the chief executive of the foundation's health policy arm, served as a clean energy associate at the foundation, that's the Clinton Foundation, before taking a project finance position at Sun Edison last year. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is there for you to read. Headline, Pelosi's husband invested in solar firm weeks before lucrative expansion. It is in an unknown publication to those in San Francisco who only read the San Francisco Chronicle, a wholly owned subsidiary of Willie Brown and Nancy Pelosi, according to those who know what's really going on. It's in the Washington Free Beacon, a right-wing fanatical newsletter of no importance. but it was written by Lachlan Markey, who could be sued if any of this was false. And, of course, if we had a legitimate government, meaning a Republican Party at all, there'd be an immediate congressional investigation. But since we have no Republican Party, as you well know, other than a group of vermin who are conspiring to deny a single candidate his presidency, or his, let's say, his right to even run for the presidency, you will not see such a congressional investigation. The Teapot Dome scandal was nothing compared to what I just read to you. Nothing whatsoever. So we're talking about this corruption, and we're asking you which of the candidates is more likely to stop the corruption. Is it Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Hillary, or Bernie? So I turn it over to you, the people. This election, by the way, is all about corruption. This election is all about the stench coming out of Washington, is it not? Raise your hand if you disagree with me. I see, let's see, in the millions of people out there, no hands. Because left, right, or center, you all know this election is about one thing, which is the stink, the rotten stink of the garbage coming out of Washington. The dirtiest people in the world are running this country. My friends, that's what this election is about. Now, some would say Bernie will clean up Washington. I don't think anyone would say Hillary would clean up Washington. How could she clean up Washington if she is Washington? Some say that Cruz will clean up Washington. To me, that's doubtful in that he is Washington. He's a sitting senator, the last I checked. So all of them are career politicians except one, a businessman who you don't like. I like him. I like him because I think because he's an outsider, he's just likely to do the right thing. I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that explains his popularity. But then again, I could be wrong, even though I'm never wrong in politics. In my 22 years, I've never been wrong in politics. I've been wrong in my personal life. I've been wrong on certain facts about scientific issues once in a while. I have never, ever been wrong in politics. You know, in every novel, every story, there's a beginning, middle, and an end, and there's usually a hero and a villain. And we all like to see that the hero in the end wins and the villain gets punished. Unfortunately, in America today, the reverse is true. The villains rise to the top, and the heroes are punished. Mainly our war heroes, our U.S. Marines. Many of them are rotting in Fort Leavenworth prison for having shot the vermin before they were killed themselves. And it started with George Bushy. I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to get these men out of jail. In some cases, I helped. In some cases, I couldn't. The country is upside down. The Pope, upside down. He brings in Syrian Muslim refugees to Italy. I could see if he wanted to make a showcase of bringing in Syrian Christians who are being decimated in a Holocaust right in front of our eyes. But the Pope is corrupt. The whole West is rotten. The whole West is rotting. So now we look at our own country. Insider trading. Billions of dollars of taxpayer money going up in smoke. No congressional oversight, nothing. So the election is all about this corruption. I mean, make no mistake about what do you think is about a personality contest. It's not about personality. The people know we're at a breaking point, and they want the villains punished. So what do you do when you have a corrupt president who permits the endemic nature of corruption to seep through the entire, all the halls of Congress? What you do is you impeach him, isn't that true? So why did the Republicans fail to impeach him all these years? Because they are part of the same one-party system, which brings us down to this election. We know that both parties are corrupt. We know they both stink. So we're looking for an outsider, which explains the insurgency of Sanders and the insurgency of Trump. Make no mistake about it. There is more in common between those two than you may imagine in so many different ways. And there's a lot of overlap, and I think people know that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. Minutes of the Savage Nation this primary day in New York. Everyone's going to be waiting to see the results, and there are none, of course. All you're going to hear is people yagging about what can happen, what might happen. If it does happen, it's because of this and because of that. I mean, what's the point of talking about it until it's over? Well, what are you going to get from that? So I'm not talking about it. But I want to conclude with something that's very important. Many of you think that the politicians of today are somehow of a lower grade than the politicians of the past, especially the so-called founding fathers. Now, in the past, you know that I've ripped into those who glorify the founding fathers because they were just men. And I know something about men. Men vary, good, bad, and different, the good, bad, and the ugly. And all of the founding fathers were just like everyone else. Some of them were good, some of them were bad, and some of them were not very good. Examples: Thomas Jefferson's blackmail attempt against the unfaithful Alexander Hamilton. Sound familiar? Shouldn't that remind you that the so-called founding fathers were practitioners of underhanded tactics? And haven't the last weeks and months provided a reminder of how ridiculous and embarrassing our national political life has always been? Did you know that Hamilton himself, one of the founding fathers, often glorified, Hamilton himself wrote scurrilous anonymous pamphlets against Thomas Jefferson? Hamilton wrote pamphlets defaming his enemies in New York State politics. John Adams dubbed him, quote, that bastard brat of a Scottish peddler. Did you know that about the glorified founding fathers? Hamilton's attacks on Aaron Burr, running across three elections, nationally in 1796 and 1800, and for the governorship of New York in 1804, Hamilton's attacks on Aaron Burr were so heated and nasty that they eventuated in the 1850 duel in which Adam Burr killed Alexander Hamilton. So if you think that there's anything new under the sun, my friends, you better look back on your history and not be duped into thinking that these guys were somehow godlike, because they were not godlike. They were only men. Somebody sent me this. They said they feel safe at last. They took down their rebel flag, which you can't buy on eBay anymore. They peeled the NRA sticker off their front door. They disconnected their home alarm system and quit the neighborhood watch. They bought instead two Pakistani flags and put one at each corner of the front yard. Then they purchased a black flag of ISIS, which you can buy on eBay, and they ran it up the flagpole. And she says, now the local police, sheriff, FBI, CIA, NSA, Homeland Security, Secret Service, and other agencies are all watching my house 24/7. And she says, I've never felt safer, and I'm saving $69.95 a month that ADT used to charge her. Plus, she said, I purchased burkas for my family when we shop or travel. She said, everyone moves out of the way and security can't pat us down. She says, hot damn, safe at last. Ain't America great or what? And that's the America that you created. From the founding fathers to this incredible election. Oh, yes, here's another article I didn't get to. Bernie Sanders was asked to leave a hippie commune for shirking his duties on the commune, a new book claims. He failed even at a hippie commune in 1971 because all he did was sit around and talk about politics instead of working. Have a nice night.